Oh, hallelujah. Thank them guys again, man. I still know God's a fiddle player. I said, I know God's a fiddle player. I wasn't talking about you that last. I owe him some this morning. He's really been picking on me quite a bit before church. So that's what I'll have to get there, Denise. I'll get there to it. Oh, y'all just, man, y'all just to sit there and listen. Man, y'all were just so into it this morning. You could just really sense the presence of the Lord. Which, you know what? If you stay in communication with Him, you'll sense His presence all the time. But when y'all's voices sound like that this morning, everybody just seemed to be, you must have had a wonderful week. So let's have another wonderful week. You know, I'm going to do the announcements, Heidi, before I forget. Drinks for free at the back of the church. Please take Sprite, Diet Coke, Diet Dr. Pepper, etc. Help yourselves after church so we can get that cleaned up. Float for the Christmas parade. Volunteers to help. See Lisa Kirk. Where are you at, Lisa? Raise your head. There you go. See Lisa. Volunteers to help with the Christmas float. And we need another camera person to help with the camera during service. And if that's so, you need to see Heidi. If you have some technological skills or just want to learn, I'm sure somebody will help you if you're willing to be there. So, and then Bible study on Tuesday night from 6:30 to 8. Don't forget that. So I feel really privileged to get to share with y'all today. But first of all, how many new people today? How many people are here for the first time? Would you raise your hands? Anybody? Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. Thanks for coming. We get new people almost every week, and we've really grown a lot since the beginning of the plandemic. And that's what it was. And I said was. It was planned. It was a conspiracy, and I won't get off that. I will not deny that. I believe that with all my heart. It may have been planned by Satan, but it's planned. So that's where it goes. Some people, you know, he works through some people. And so there you go. You got to deal with it. But thanks for we thank you for coming. If you didn't get a visitor's packet deal, did y'all get anyone so you can get it in? Put some. They'll call you. They'll want your credit card numbers, bank accounts, and everything. They'll just call and thank you for coming. And if you got any prayer needs or want to know about the church, that's a good time to answer the questions. And so we do thank you for coming. Am I supposed to welcome online yet? Are we there? If you're online and you're watching online, we thank you. We welcome you. Welcome them this morning and thank you all for coming, being a part. I had to ask Howdy and Heidi and everybody else what order. This is Ricky Sunday because this is Communion Sunday. And he always preaches when it's time for communion. And so, you know, there we go. But anyway, so I'm having to come up with all these things I'm supposed to do. But first of all, you know, we're fixing to do tithes and offerings. And this is a big deal here for us because we understand God's economic system. Fortunately, Corey, I'm not the pastor. Corey Ross is the pastor. And he's at a high school rodeo with Seth this weekend. And so me and Ricky and Howdy get to fill in when Corey's gone. But, you know, one of the big things here is we preach the Word. And it's all about preaching the Word. And that's in every aspect of our lives. And finances is a major aspect of our lives. And, you know, Corey and Jamie don't take a salary. God told them from the very beginning not to do that. And so we get to teach here on tithes and offerings. And that's a big deal to learn God's economy and God's principles. And, you know, I'll tell you what, y'all turn with me to Deuteronomy me find it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I'm going to be in Deuteronomy a lot this morning, so you can put your marker there, I think. You know, last week, me and Ricky and Corey were all at San Angelo at the Rope and Fiesta. Corey calls me the week before, and he said, hey, who's preaching Sunday? That's the way he called me and said, who's preaching Sunday? I said, that was about Wednesday or Thursday of the week before last. I said, I suspect Howdy is because you asked me to be at Angelo, and Ricky's going to be there with you, so that leaves Howdy. He said, oh, good. He said, I'll check with him and make sure. And he said, hey, would you any chance have something on your heart that I might share this week at San Angelo? And so I told him, I said, I'll tell you what, I don't at the moment because I didn't know I needed to be praying, you know, that for you to come up with something to minister at the Rope and Fiesta. But I said, I'll give it to you at 8:30 on Sunday morning. And he says, I might need a little more time than that. So we had a great service last week. And when we got done, I did. Actually, I texted him back, Roger, in about 30 minutes. I'm doing something there at the house. And the Lord said, just sending, you might talk about the name that's above every name. And so he did. You know, and I was impressed. You know, I mean, I wasn't trying to put it on him, but man, it was awesome, huh, Rick? But it was so good. And so I told him I was going to preach about that here this week, but the Lord, we're not going that way. He overrode Corey. So tithes and offerings are so important to us. Are you all in Deuteronomy chapter 8? Okay, say amen, shout something. Verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. It's important that we remember God in everything we do, but as we remember Him with our finances, because of the blessings He's blessed us with, whether it's however He brings the money in, that's his business. But when we get on that system of knowing that as we bring our tithes and offerings unto His storehouse, the church, He told us there in Malachi, He said, you try me in this. But more than that, to me, it's I don't want to forget the Lord my God who has given us the power to get wealth, who's given us the power. He meets all of our needs according to His riches and glory when we're willing and obedient. And so just to get the opportunity to give back, to share, to see, you know, especially when you're in a church such as this, which you know is good ground, that we're, you know, I don't even know all the outreaches. I don't know all the things where we give, but, you know, I believe this church is debt free. There's not anything owed on at this church. That doesn't happen without the blessing of the Lord. And because of people like y'all, so I want to encourage you just this year, as things go from here, just keep remembering the Lord our God who gives us the power to get wealth. He directs our steps. He calls us to be in the right place at the right time. That all comes from willingness and obedience to sow into His kingdom, to plant our seeds, to give where He's planted us. You know, Isaac sowed where God told him to sow and he reaped 100-fold that year. And you know what? I'm get out there and get bold and say, Lord, I'm believing for the 100-fold. I thank you for 30. I thank you for 60. But when he realizes the blessing that we want to be in other people's lives and in his kingdom, and he'll not do without cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it, givers. So with that, y'all just bring your tithes and offerings this morning. Thank y'all so much for being willing to share and be a part of this church.
We'll be gone, but you died for me once, and I know this is true. So with all of my life, I'm living for you.
got things. Hey, let's pray over the tithes and offerings right quick to just reach your hand up here. Father God, thank you so much for the seed that you provided for us to sow. Father, thank you for teaching us on tithes and offerings. Thank you, Lord, for rebuking the devourer for the people's sake. Lord, I thank you that Father, we want to be willing and obedient. We want to be cheerful givers, and I believe everyone in here is that. So, Lord, as people have brought of their first fruits, of their tithes and offerings, Father, what you've instructed to give, Father, I thank you. We all set ourselves in agreement for a hundredfold return on behalf of every person in this room. We thank you for rebuking the devourer for our sake, that our vine shall not cast its fruit before its time in the field. Father, we believe because of our willingness and obedience to sow into your kingdom, to help promote, to teach, to share the gospel, Father, that you surround us with your favors, with a shield. You order our steps. We're in the right place at the right time. Our bank accounts, investments, health, and relationships are flourishing because of our obedience to be cheerful, joyous, promptitude givers whose hearts in are given. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't back off that. Just keep expecting. Well, it's Communion Sundays. Y'all can tell because they're passing communion out. And before I read the scripture, you can turn and look in 1 Corinthians. I mean, most of y'all, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to read out of there. But I want you this morning, if there's anything physically that is you're dealing with, you got something in your body that you're dealing with. If you got a family member that's not where they're supposed to be. Maybe you got a kid that's out there that isn't living at the moment the way you raised them up. But know that God said raise them up in the way they should go and they'll not depart from it. They'll be back. And so as we all those situations and circumstances, we have to remember. We have to get this revelation. We have to get the understanding that Jesus' body was broken for every pain, everything that could come against us. And He shed His blood to make provision to fix all those situations and circumstances in our life. And when we start meditating on that, I want to encourage you. We do this the first Sunday of every month, but you know what? Husbands and wives, families, even if you're just single, it doesn't matter. Communion's not something that has to be done at church. We don't have to wait till the first Sunday of the month. You know, Kathy and I have our time when we take it. You know, we kind of like to start the week with it. You know, it's just kind of, because things get busy. Nobody's busy, are you? You don't have anything to do. You get busy, and you know what? Sometimes maybe we forget. Kathy always, well, she doesn't remind me to do this. She makes me do it on Monday mornings, prompt her to do it. And when I forget, she hasn't reminded me. You know, she reminds me about a lot of other things, though, Roger. Good things, they're good things. They're good things. But no, communion, we need to understand the value and the importance of it. And that it's not just for here on Sunday morning. You know, we want to take and put things under the body and the blood of Christ. Do it. More than anything, I want to do it to thank the Lord for what He's done for me. You know, He sent His Word to heal us. He's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. And we were taking this communion. We remember that. We can say thank you. And, the things I expect. When I get through, I expect. So it creates that expectancy. Say, Lord, I have covenant rights with you and I thank you for them and I'm going to receive them and I'm going to walk in them. And that's what this is a symbol of. You know, and it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And we're going to do this right now. You can hold up the cracker. And this is Jesus talking. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you today for your body that was broken for us. And as we partake of this cracker, we say thank you. And we receive all the benefits that come from your body that was broken for us. And Lord, we thank you. You said in this cup, verse 25, in the same manner He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So Lord, we take of the cracker and the cup this morning as symbols of your body that was broken for us, your blood that was shed for us, and we receive the benefits of our covenant with you, and we say thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And with that, all of the children, young people can be released and head back there to Morgan and Casey and whoever else is taking place this morning. Give them kids a hand as they're going this way. And for the teachers and all the helpers. Yeah, Ricky, there's too many responsibilities this morning when you have all this to do in one morning. You know, it's just, we were talking about earlier, you know, he said, you know, you're not just a guest anymore. He said, you have responsibilities now and you have to take care of them. And I'm like, I don't like responsibility. It's more fun, blow in, blow out. Just let her rip. So, anyway, y'all are so special. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning that you meet with us. Father, you've called us each one to be here for such a time as this. You've appointed us and anointed us to be here to live in this time and this age. And so, Lord, thank you. You've also not just called us, you've equipped us to do that. And we come together this morning to encourage one another, to lift each other up. You said you've given to some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Lord, we're all to do the work of the ministry. And so thank you. As you further equip us this morning, please open the eyes of our understanding so that we know everything you've truly given to us. Father, you said in all our getting to get understanding. So we want to understand so that we may each one fill our spot. You've put different gifts in the body. We all don't have the same gift, thank goodness. But Lord, you said we're all to supply what our joint supplies. So as we listen to you this morning, Lord, I give you myself. I don't want what Rusty wants to share. I want what you want to share to build us up so that we can each one supply what our joint supplies and fill our spot in the body of Christ. And to go out into the world, as you said, Jesus, making disciples of all men and teaching them what you taught us. So we're here to learn. We ask you for wisdom. We choose to be willing and obedient as you open our eyes and our hearts and our ears to the truth of your word and our responsibility to fulfill it. And we thank you and give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what, I have so many things that I want to go to. But I want you to turn to Psalms 103. Kathy asked me last night, where are you going? I said, I think Psalms 103. But we also are going to be in Deuteronomy a whole bunch because I'm going to share something with you out of my Founder's Bible in just a minute that just, I want to put it in the right words as to how the Lord prompted me on some of these things. You know, I have inquiring minds want to know, Betsy. You know, I want to know. There's some things I want to know, and I'm pretty simple. You know, I don't know. It's just one of them deals where, like, I talk with God there on the ranch, and I just, you know, there's things there, and I really didn't want to. I'm like, oh Jesus. A few weeks ago, I listened to a little deal from Billy Brim, and he's just talking about Clara Grace and Jean Wilkerson and Clara Grace. She was a prophetess, and I haven't researched her that much, but I trust Billy Brim, and I'm just so intrigued by the things that she knows because she's so in tune to the Jewish roots and history and things that went on. And so anyway, I'm listening to this deal and it just really intrigued me. And Clara Grace gets caught up in a vision and it was really neat as she describes that vision. But the Lord told her, said, I'm going to show you about the 18 silent years. And that was from the time Jesus was 12 till he was 30. And so I'm just listening to this and it just prompts me. And so, and the other day even, I'm like, Lord, okay. Anyway, I shared this at Bible study, and she shared some things that were very intriguing. You know, it's how Jesus built himself up on the Word, and he talked the Word, and he did all this. And I have a person that kind of challenged me. I don't like to be challenged. Kind of challenged me a little bit and said, you know, I don't agree with that. He was the Word. He knew he was God when he got here as a baby. And I'm like, okay. I don't really agree with that either. I don't understand all that. You know, and it's really not just where, but I'm like, Lord, you know, you came into this world as a baby, you had dirty diapers, you played with other kids, you did all this stuff. It's hard to picture Jesus like that, isn't it? I mean, come on, do y'all have a problem getting that? Not a problem, but I mean, you think about that. And then I think about he grows up, he plays with other kids, you know, and everything, and I'm like, so Lord, you know, what'd you do from them teenage years? You know, Jesus go through puberty? What about all those things? How about all that stuff, you know, that we deal with? Because Jesus was tempted so that we would not, so that we could overcome. He overcame so that we could overcome. And so I thought about all those things. And you know, at first I'm challenged. I'm a little ticked at this person. No, I was a lot ticked, wasn't I, Kathy? We're coming home. Where have we been? Where we've been? I said, so how would you handle that? And she tells me, and I said, well, she's got this provoking spirit on, but that's not the way I said it. And I won't go there. And then the Lord this week, he began to deal with me. He said, you see, I did know I was the Son of God. And I am God come in the flesh. Because it tells us in John, you know, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And he knew, Jesus knew who he was. But the thing that really, really struck me was God made me go look at something that I didn't. I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, how we've so cheated ourselves and our children from not studying, howdy, from not knowing. I'm going to tell you what, you can't be good at nothing, anything you try if you don't put your heart, your soul, and your mind into it. Ricky could not play the fiddle like he does if he had not played since he was, and put the hours he's put into playing. And there's others of you in here. You've got, maybe you rope, maybe you play, maybe you bowl, maybe you play golf. Whatever you do, if you had a passion there, you applied yourself to that. We need to develop a passion for the Word of God. And if we don't spend time in the, I'm sorry, but if you ain't got time to spend in the Word, you know, it's kind of like me and Kathy were in this discussion this morning, coming here. She's in Angelo today, and I'm sure y'all are seeing them everywhere. There's people on the street corners, you know, got their little signs out wanting something to eat. Food, money. They want money. I don't know, they want to eat. They want money. And you go right down one block from them, there's a McDonald's that says, help wanted, we'll even buy you new clothes. And she said, I could have just stopped and offered him a ride. I said, yeah. I said, you can take them down there and say, I know where you can get you a job, but don't give them no handout, because if they don't want to work, the Bible said they ain't supposed to eat. I'm sorry, I know, but we're going through, there's not enough people to fill the spots. This is nowhere where my message is. There's not enough people to fill the spots. They need workers in places, but if they're not willing to work, let them starve. I'm sorry, but listen, I'm going to tell you what, they got to have some unction. Now, some of them may have some issues that they just need ministering to and some help, but the first, plant the Word, show them where the job is, and then let God expose what you need to share with them. But don't be just handing them something on the street corner. I'm all for the church is supposed to take care of the poor. They need instructions in the Word on how to go to work, because there's jobs out there. Now, okay, I hope, Lord, now I can just go to where I'm wanting to go. I don't know why. I think it's Kathy's fault, Howdy. She brought that stuff up. Y'all in Psalms. So what I'm getting at with that challenging me, so what I went to, the Lord, And so I did ask him. I said, how do I respond to that? And he said, you just teach the Word. The Word will do its stuff. It'll do its work. It'll do what it's supposed to do. And so throughout the week, though, I'm still inquiring. I'm like, Lord, you know, you were... He said, go to Psalms 103. So let's start in verse 1. We might read the whole thing. We might just read a piece of it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I can stop right there and preach all the rest of the day on that one verse. And I'm going to do, I'm not going to preach all the rest of the day, but I'm going to stop right there for a minute. We may go on and read it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. We have a soul that is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And the Lord said, I want you to bless me with your mind, what you think, with your will, what you choose, with your emotions, the way you respond to situations and circumstances in your life. We bless the Lord by responding according to the Word, how He has showed us, how Jesus taught the disciples. He said, this is what you do in this situation. This is what you do in that situation. And I'm going to tell you what, if we don't open the Bible and read it, we don't know how to respond. And we wonder why we're in a mess. We wonder why finances are messed up. We wonder why our health's messed up. We eat trash. Come on. Don't get quiet. I mean, look. Sugar feeds a whole lot of stuff in our bodies. You know, and I don't want to go there about diet and everything, but look, it's because we haven't inquired of the Lord. We haven't spent time in His Word and in His presence. Let me give you a thought. The tithe is 10%, right? If you tithe 10% of your time every day, how much time do you spend with the Lord every day? 2 hours and 40 minutes out of a 24-hour day. Oh, come on, preacher, don't ask me to do that. I got to go hunting in the morning. Hunting, deer season's open. You got to be on the blind early. Well, get in there the night before. You know, so anyway, I'm not trying to put anyone under condemnation. I just, you know, the Lord began to deal with me about these things. And I'm, Lord, that's hard. That can be a little bit of a struggle. He said, how bad do you want to succeed? How bad do you want to fulfill the destiny I called for you? How bad do you want, you know, this is all about going back to living right, to living the way that Corey's been talking about and teaching us in the last days. We've got to be equipped for what's coming on the scene. Most of it's already here. And it's a bunch of trash. And I could get in my little Constitution book and I can read that, go through the Bill of Rights, and I can tell you right now, that we have people sitting in office that are tyrants and that are going against the Constitution of the East United States, and we have the right, every right to expel them, kick them out, get rid of them. It's our job, but we got to stand up, take our place. Okay. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So, I want to share something with y'all out of the Founders Bible. Y'all bear with me as I read this, because the Lord just really prompted me. He said, you know, Western-minded people have no conception of what I had my people do. You know, and we're going to go there and do. But listen, I want y'all to read this. This is called Starting Early in the Word, and this is from our forefathers. This David Barton didn't put this together, but we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. But I want y'all to listen to some of these things. I'm going to read it. It'll take me a few minutes. For centuries in America, the Bible was the primary textbook utilized by students. Students who became America's greatest scientists, teachers, statesmen, ministers, businessmen, and military leaders. Occasionally, someone would suggest that something other than the Bible would be more appropriate core textbook. But such suggestions were routinely rejected by our founding fathers. Fisher Ames, who helped frame the Bill of Rights in the First Federal Congress, addressed this issue in an article he published entitled School Books. He began by commenting on a recent trend he had observed in America's education. It has been the custom of late years to put a number of little books into the hands of children containing fables and moral lessons. But Ames noted that each time a new school book was placed into the classroom, time was spent on it, thus reducing the time spent by students on the Bible. I'm not going to add devil on any of this. I'm going to let y'all think about it. Listen. The overall effect was that the Bible was gradually drifting to the back of the classroom. And to this, Ames strongly objected. Why then, if these books for children must be retained as they will be, should not the Bible regain the place it once held as a school book? Its morals are pure, its examples captivating and noble. The reverence for the sacred book that is thus early impressed lasts long and probably, if not impressed in infancy, never takes firm hold of the mind. Of course, Fisher Ames was living proof of the benefits of a Bible-based education. He learned to read the Bible early. When only 6 years old, he had already begun the study of Latin. When 12, he passed the entrance exam to Harvard. Graduating when he was 16 and then becoming a teacher, Ames, like so many others before him and after him, had blossomed under his Bible-centered education. Interestingly, the pages of American history are filled with similar accounts of American heroes who got an early start in the Bible. For example, when signer of the Declaration, John Witherspoon, was 4 years old, he had already finished reading the Bible from cover to cover. And while still a child, he could recite nearly all the New Testament by memory. Founding Father John Trumbull, a justice on the Supreme Court of Connecticut, also had finished reading through the Bible by the time he was four. When famous author Harriet Beecher Stowe, author of the abolitionist classic Uncle Tom's Cabin, was 7 years old, she had already memorized 27 hymns and several chapters from the Bible. And when the great Daniel Webster, the defender of the Constitution, was just a young lad, his school teacher James Tappan reported, "I held up a handsome new jackknife to the scholar," sorry about the boys in his class, you might try this, Howdy, and said the boy who would commit to memory the greatest number of verses in the Bible by Monday morning should have it. Many of the boys did well, but when it came to Daniel's turn to recite, I found that he had committed so much to memory that after hearing him repeat some 60 or 70 verses, I was obliged to give up. He telling me that there were several chapters yet he had learned. Daniel got that jackknife. The Bible was the primary text for all these accomplished students. Signer of the Declaration, Benjamin Rush, was another founder who strongly objected to not using the Bible as the principal textbook in schools. And in 1791, he published a work offering numerous reasons why it must retain America's premier school text, including, in the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, we find the following words, which are directed to my purpose. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sit in thine house, when thou walk by the way, and when thou lie down, and when thou rise up." There ain't much time not to talk about them. The learning of the Jews for many years consisted in nothing but a knowledge of the Scriptures. But the benefits of an early and general acquaintance with the Bible were not confined only to the Jewish nations. They have appeared in many countries in Europe since the Reformation. The industry and habits of order which distinguish many of the German nations are derived from their early instruction in the principles of Christianity by means of the Bible. The moral and enlightened character of the inhabitants of Scotland and of the New England states appear to be derived from the same cause. The Bible should be read in our schools in preference to all other books. History demonstrates that children are capable of learning much more and at a much earlier age than we in this generation have been led to think. And if God told us in Deuteronomy 6 to educate our children in His Word at an early age, it is because He knew that they would flourish under this early intake of His Word. Let's obey the scriptural mandate and begin children and students very early in the reading and learning of His Word. I found that just like so interesting. And I read this a long time ago was trying to figure out how to incorporate it. And so as the Lord took me to Psalms 103, He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and all that's with me. He said, "Bless my holy name." He said, "Son, He said, you got a mind, you got a will, and you have emotions. And it's up to you to renew your mind. And I heard this the other day, and I was thinking of Trey Johnson, but what's your name? Mark? Now, don't be offended at me. Don't get mad at me, Mark. But Billy Brim's granddaughter said she's dealing with the Lord one day. She's talking to him, and he said, Kylie, your mind doesn't stay any more renewed than your hair stays combed. But Mark stays combed all the time. We must renew our minds constantly. That just means you're more spiritual than us. You know, Romans 12:1 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the Lord said, okay, you got to bring your mind under the directions and in my direction. You got to bring it into my authority. You got to bring it into what I'm trying to show you, so that, he said, you will choose what I desire for you to choose. And then your emotions will respond to where, you know, last time I got to ministry, I talked about, you know, the old man's dead. And was talking about, you know, just dying to those things of the flesh. And a dead man don't feel nothing. Now think about that. We got to quit trying to resurrect that man that died when we got born again. We allow ourselves to get put in situations and circumstances to where we let him come back to life. And you know, sometimes it feels pretty good. You know, you think, man, I kind of missed that a little bit. And in a few days, you're like, oh man, why am I so grumpy? Or why am I, you know, things, you know, this ain't right. And the Holy Spirit will bring back. He said, you know, when you kind of stepped over there on the line, he said, you fell off the fence, son. You got over there in the ditch. And he said, you got out from under my covering. Because in order to abide under the shadow of the Most High, we got to stay in the presence of the Lord. And so I'm like, Lord, you know, I know, you know, but how? So what we just read, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Y'all turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's look at a few things right out of there. And I have it somewhere here. I know in Deuteronomy 6, we just read, you know, I want y'all to think about what Benjamin Rush just shared there. You know, he said, let's start in verse 1 and let's read this again. I think this is just so worth the deal. Now, this is a commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them. We got to make a decision to observe the commandments of the Lord. It ain't just going to happen. Brian, you and Blake, where's Blake? Blake, come up here. And Brian, I need Brian and Blake to come up. Come on, don't be bashful. Ricky, I need you to come up too. You gotta help equip the saints. You know, you got, just come on up. We'll get up here. No, we'll do it right down here. This will be better. Everybody can see you. Ricky, you in the middle. And Blake on one side of you and Brian on another. And y'all give him, I want you to give your arm to each one of them, arm to each one of them. No, I want you to hold his hand, and I want y'all to step out here a little bit, the end of his arm, okay? Don't stretch him apart.
Please.
But, Ricky's our mind, okay? This is where we're making the choices, right here. And we got, you want to be the spirit of the flesh, man?
Old flesh.
Okay.
Great.
We got our fleshly, we got the fleshly side of Ricky over here. We got the spiritual side, the Holy Spirit over here. And Ricky comes up against the temptation, and both of them are going to be pulling. But it's which one, the one that's going to win is the one he's going to feed the most. If he's feeding the flesh and not spending any time in the Word, then the flesh is going to win. But if he's feeding his spirit and he's spending time in the Word and he's meditating on the Word and he's spending time with God, then the spirit man's going to win and he's going to make the right decision. Amen. Y'all can sit down. Thank y'all. Thank you. Appreciate it. So, the Lord said, you know, you got to feed. And so I was so intrigued by this. And it's not just in Deuteronomy 6, y'all. Go to verse 2. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. You gotta study to know the commandments. We gotta study to know the Word. Guys, I'm talking to me, okay? Y'all don't think, I mean, I'm not, there's areas that it's like, that fleshly man still pulls pretty hard in some areas. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you. I want it to be well with me and my family. I want it to be. And that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Skip down verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, our innermost being. We got to put them in there. We have to put them in there. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. They ought to be on the refrigerator. That, you know, there's just, I don't find any time in there where the Lord didn't want us to have the Word before us. And He's instructing His children, the Hebrew children, He's instructed them, in order to succeed, in order to fulfill your destiny that I have called for you before the foundations of the world, each one of us, Psalms 139, we've talked about it, we've shared about it, you know, our days were fashioned for us. Yes, they were predestined for us before the foundations of the world. And so that we could be equipped to do as Jesus told us in these last days. He said, you go out and make disciples of all men. You teach them what I taught you. Well, if I haven't spent time in the Word, how am I going to share it with them? How is they going to know there's a difference between me and the rest of the world? And so it's just, and as we begin to do that, as we begin to put that in, it's just that we learn what it is to God said to always be in prayer, to be in communication with the Father. Pray without ceasing. Y'all, that you don't have to go sit down in a chair. Stay in constant communication with the Lord, and that's fellowship, that's the conversation. You know, there's times for different types of prayer. I get that. But to be constantly in prayer is to be in a situation to where we're tuned into His voice all the time. We're communicating with Him. As it says in Job 22, verse 20 or something there, He says, keep yourself acquainted with God that you may be at peace, and thereby good comes to you. It's my responsibility. It's not Corey's, it's not Howdy's, it's not your wife's, it's not your husband's. It's each one of us individually have to make the choice, whom shall we serve? And so, you know, as we do, I think turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Yeah, let's go to 11, start in verse 18. Same thing we just talked about. God stresses this in the five chapters over again. Deuteronomy 11:18, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, like the days of heaven above the earth. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to hold fast to Him, then the Lord, listen to this, will drive out all these nations, these peoples from before you, and you would dispose greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Verse 25, no man shall be able to stand against you. I'm going to tell you what, when we rise up and take our place, Isaiah chapter 60, the Lord told us to rise up and take our place, to fill our spot. When we heed this right here, when we get serious about it, things begin to transpire in your life that you're like, how'd that happen? There's things that you know, and I'm going to say, it's just things that, I'm just going to be honest. You know, maybe we set our eyes on that which we shouldn't. Maybe we watch shows that aren't really becoming of our... Would we take... Okay, let me put it this way. Would you take Jesus to go watch that show with you? Would you take Jesus in that place you went tonight to eat? So, you know, there's a situation... Would we ask the Lord, would you come go with me here? He's like, can't go there. But Lord... You see, all those things we allow enter in and they steal our peace, they steal our joy, they steal our kids, because what happens is we open the doors to demonic spirits through disobedience in things that are not ordained by God. Now there's places we're going to be in. God's telling us to go. He told us to go into all the world, so that stuff's out there. I'm talking about when we deliberately choose to satisfy the flesh. I'm not talking about ministering. We got to go in those places. We got to go places. When we're going there to minister, when we're going there because God said, I need you in here tonight. There's a guy in there, or a woman, or a person I need you to talk to. Maybe I just need your presence in there to stop something else. When the Lord tells us, that's one thing. But when we're using it to satisfy the desires of the flesh, then it enters in and chokes the word out. When it chokes the word out, then we lose our peace, we lose our joy, we lose our health, we lose our children. I'm going to tell you what, there's people out there, you know, that says, we got some friends. And I'm not meaning to step on any toes, but there's people out there that have children that do not have natural affections. I'm going to try not to say the wrong words. Got women lusting after women and men lusting after men. And they're having affairs like that, and they're engaging in that thing, and it's not a God. I'm going to tell you what, there's no such thing as a transgender person. There's people that think they are, but there is no such thing as that. It's not in the Bible. God didn't create that. He created a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He created us either male or female. And if you think you're a woman and you're going to go in my wife's bathroom, I'm going to help you relieve the parts that would cause you so you can be a woman when you come out. Guys, we got to stand up and take our place. We got to preach the word. We got to love it. We got to love the people because they're being deceived by demonic spirits. But you know what? We've got families in the church that have children that are out there in that because of not tending to business when our kids were small and teaching them the word of God like He told us in Deuteronomy 6 and chapter 11, 6 and 11. We got to take a stand. And we can, when we think back to, is it First or Second Chronicles? It says, if my people who are called by my name shall call on me and they'll repent and ask forgiveness, I'll heal their land. We got a lot more to repent for than what we think. Because we've let so many things slide, but, you know, God's mercies are new every day, thank goodness, because we get up of a morning and we say, Lord, don't let me miss it today. I'm sticking. And when we do, don't let the devil say, oh man, I was going to preach. When I start about preaching this, the devil's telling me, oh, you're a hypocrite. Yeah, there's hypocrites in heaven. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to go to hell with them or heaven with them. There's hypocrites in the church. Not intentionally all the time, but they're there. We're all hypocrites in some form or fashion. We talk about loving God and loving our neighbor and talk like I'm behind their back. Hypocrites. If we're going to be empowered for the last days to fulfill our destiny, to walk out the call God's got for us, and we can't help it. We're here. Is there anybody not here? We're here for such a time as this. God put us here. We just as well accept the responsibility and go for it. But get equipped. Get excited about who we are and like say, man, how do I do this, Lord? And so he showed me some things for me, and it was those two areas right there. But I've got to go to Matthew, and I got a whole bunch of notes, and we could talk about them. But y'all get the gist of what I'm talking about? The Word of God, as I decipher from Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11, go to Matthew, the Word of God is life and health and healing to all our flesh. And when we apply the Word, when we get diligent about applying the Word, oh, baby, it's in my notes. I got to find this scripture. We walk in the blessing. And I got all kind of notes on the blessing and things. But, the main thing, the Lord wants us to understand. Oh, Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. I want to lay something out there. Just give it to you. Think about. This is the parable of the sower. And I don't even have to read the whole parable. I want to look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. We know what the parable is. Well, let's just read it. Let's read the parable of the sower. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Jesus talking. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. He kind of wanted to hear, but he really didn't give a rip. It's like, man, that just, you know what? I ain't got time for that. That's the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And you know, I see this is the person that's like, they hear the prosperity message. Yeah, man, I'm going to sow me some seed and I'm going to get me a new boat. And then the new boat don't come by the end of the month and they're like, oh, well, this don't work. That's the one on stony ground. You know, you got to get a rock hammer or a rock drill or something and work on him a little bit. Okay. Verse 21, yet he has no root in himself but endures for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Verse 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes, that person, that individual becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, he who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100 and some 30 and some 60. 22, verse 22. He who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. I don't think that's the case in this body, this church, but I do think it's the case in most of the church. Most everybody's as a field of thorns, because they hear it, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches or the lust of other things, enter in and choke out the productivity of the word because they don't apply themselves. As God told the Hebrew children, the Jewish nation, you know, at that time, think about it, they only had five books of the Bible, the Torah. And he told them, I want it on your doorpost. I want you talking about when you sit down to eat. I want you talking about when you get up. I want you talking about before you go to bed. I want you while you're working. I want you to talk about it. Jesus grew up in his father's carpentry shop. And he worked for Joseph. And he built stuff. Clara Gray said, God showed her the last table Jesus built. As he finished the table and he polished it. And he went out then into his ministry at 30. And she said, it was magnificent. That gives me chills, you know. Some people don't believe in those visitations. And I do. You know, you can't prove they didn't. So, I'm going with it. And when you see the fruit of their lives, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. So when you see people producing fruit and they share something not good, they ain't sharing it to build themselves up. They're trying to build us up. God's trying to build us up. He said to try all the spirits. But at the same time, you know, Jesus, in that time, he's raised in a Jewish family that they get up talking about the Word. They go to bed talking about the Word. Can you picture Jesus and Joseph and his brothers in the carpentry shop? And they're talking about the things of God. And Jesus just said, so see, Russ, that's what I did. I talked the Word all the time. That talks about, you know, when he was 12 and, you know, they'd left him at the, they'd went to the feast and everything and they leave him and they leave and they can't find him for 3 days. Now, if your kid did that to you, think about this a moment. Would you consider that obedience when you come back and he said, I must be about my father's business, you disrespectful little sucker? I think about those things. You know, see, all that took place. And Jesus said, but because of the way they taught the family and the children the Word of God, because it was first place in their lives, it took the most important spot in their lives. They knew the Word. And it produced what God desired for it to produce in their lives. And so when I think about those that are among thorns, the Lord said, okay, so here's my deal for you, and this is what I want to give to y'all, and I'm going to close with it. He said, if the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, can enter in and choke the Word, can the Word, if you give the Word first place in my life, can it not choke out all those desires that are contrary to the Word of God? Can it not choke out the deceitfulness of riches? Can it not choke out the lust of other things? Can it not cause you to not, you lose your desire for it because you so put so much Word in you that we begin to recognize as we, what, the one that's going to win is the one we feed. And then it's going to be evident when we go out. That's how we stay equipped to do the work of the ministry, is by feeding on the Word. And we come in here to where God's placed us in a body of people, and we encourage one another, and we fellowship with one another. And you know, and when somebody in here makes a mistake, we don't bash them. Somebody, you know, it's like, oh, well, I didn't like the way he did that. So what? He told him to do it, not you. And God tells, you know, he says, so I think he said, son, we all have our own place in the ministry. We all got our own place in the body of Christ. Boy, I gotta grab me another volunteer. Brandon, come here. I want y'all to take this rightly, but we all have to supply what our joint supplies. We're all part of the body. We're not to condemn one another. We're to help. You know, we want to take care of the parts of the body. And so, Brenda, what I want you to do, being the flexible individual that you probably are, I want you to take this right foot, and I want you to put it right here on this right shoulder. Can you do it? You can hold on to me.
I can.
Okay. My point exactly. There's certain parts of the body that just don't touch. And we need to realize that we've got divine appointments and divine relationships, but there's others that we're to help build them up, but we're not to work together. I believe that with all my heart. We all are to build one another up, but there's just some of our personalities clash. The way we see things is different, but that's okay. Don't talk about someone else because their views aren't the same as yours. You can sit down. Thank you. I knew you couldn't do that, but guys, it's so important that we feed ourselves, we let the Word take first place in our lives to where it overrides the flesh. We feed the spirit man. If you got baptized here in the Holy Ghost and you ain't been practicing, if you ain't been spending time in the Holy Ghost, you're cheating yourself. You're letting a tool lay in the tool chest that's not working for you. Your choice. If we don't spend time in the Word, we got no one. We can't. Don't say, God, why didn't this work? Well, he said, I was trying to talk to you, but you ain't been tuned in. You don't know my voice. Or maybe sometimes you just ignore it. Shameful to say, but it does happen, huh, Bets? I mean, it's like, Lord, I don't want to go there. He said, I know you don't, but I need you to. Think about Jesus in the garden. He said, Lord, he prayed, drops of blood, till he sweated drops of blood. He said, Lord, I really don't want to go there, but I'm going. We got to get that mindset. We got to get that deal. Man, I got to give God first place. I'm going to tell you what. To see things, God changed the desires of our hearts. You know where it says in Psalms 37, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. First, you got to delight yourself in the Lord. That's first we got to spend time in the Word so He can plant some desires there that are important. Because just that desire for a new boat, it's a good thing, but you don't need it. It's just a want. New gun, new roping horse, new truck, new trailer. You know, it's not always needed. We need God's desires in here to where He can bring them to manifestation. And He will when we delight ourselves in the Lord. He puts the desires there, and then we have the right to come ask. But when they're just because my neighbor got one, I think I deserve one. That wasn't God. You can try to conjure that up every way. We all can, but it wasn't it. This wasn't the way it is. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, thank You today. If there's anyone in here today that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, I ask You that today they've understood that Your desire for them is to fulfill the life You created for them before the foundations of the world. Lord, You got a good life for them. Maybe I don't know why Lord, they just need to come to know Jesus. We don't want anyone to agree. You desire that all men come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and no man perish. So if you're sitting in here today and you've never accepted Christ, you were here for such a time as this. You were created by the Most High God. Your days were fashioned for You. And if you haven't been pleased with them, that's because you're not walking out the days God fashioned for you, but we're walking out the days You fashioned for Yourself. And God wants You to bring You into Your place, Your special place with Him. The only way to do that is through Jesus. So if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord, your Savior, we're all going to pray a prayer, and we're asking you to pray that prayer with us and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior today. So let's all of us pray this prayer right now. Father God, I thank You today for Jesus, who bought my back, my right relationship with You. So I confess for it. I've sinned. I've fallen short of Your glory. But I want You to be the Lord of my life. So I ask You to come in. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I give my life to You. I choose to spend the rest of my days in Your perfect will for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer today and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to count to three. I want you to raise your hand. We just want to get a Bible in your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. And so, on the count of three. One, two, three. Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. Guys, I thank y'all. That could have been a little haphazard at times today. But the gist of the deal is what the Lord really showed me was, He said, Russ, you've got to put so much Word in you, it chokes out that which is not of me. And then I got to be willing, Judge, I got to be willing to say no. There's some times when it's just, we got to feed that. You know, the flesh, he's not going to quit wrestling with you. He's going to be trying to get to us. And so we have to make choices, but when we feed the mind the right things, the will is going to make the right choice, and then our emotions will be in correspondence with that. And we won't be controlled by our emotions, we'll control our emotions. And we'll fulfill the destiny and walk out the days that God's got for us. I thank y'all so much for allowing me to share with you. If anyone, I'm going to give it to Howdy, and he's going to close, but if anybody needs prayer for anything, there's several of us here, Ricky and Laurie, me and Cassie, Howdy. A multitude. We got lots here. And maybe there's someone that you want to pray for you. You go to them and say, I want you to pray for me right now. Alan, Debbie back there. There's bunches. There's plenty of people. Everybody in here is anointed to pray. You got it, the Spirit of God on you. So if you see someone, the Lord quickens you, hey, you need them to pray for you. Go to them and let them do it. Thank y'all.
Amen. Amen. I tell you who needs prayer, and it's Brandon. You ain't leaving till that toe touches that shoulder. You hear me? Where do you go? There you are. I thought I was looking for you over here. I see. I'm going to turn you into Simone Biles before you leave out of here today. Mary Lou Retton. We ain't leaving till he does it, too. I told him, he said, at least try. At least try to, you know. You know, you was talking about those, you know, men shouldn't be men and women should be women. You know, I saw something the other day. It was so funny. He goes, if you think that there's like multiple genders on this planet, I dare you to go try to find an egg by a rooster or try to get milk from a bull. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. You know what? A lot of those names, a lot of these kids that say that they're this, this, and this, and that, and I'm a gender this, and I'm a... those kids didn't even know those terms existed until society came up with those terms. They didn't even know they existed. And I'm wondering, in the beginning, when they started, you know, schools in our in the United States, I'm wondering, you know, if you applied for a job to be a teacher, I guess the first question was, well, are you a Christian? Because they all use the Bible. So I wonder, you know, if you weren't a Christian, nope, we can't hire you. Wait for the next guy to, you know, put his resume in. I guess they were all just Christians. I never thought about it. But when you started talking about it, I was like, when they, you know, you watch Little House on the Prairie, you know, they're all in there reading the Bible, you know. I guess you had to be a Christian to teach school back then. But, gosh, with all that being said, man, I had a great time today. Did y'all? Fun time. Fun time. Thank you, Rusty. Is there any other announcements before I get to? Okay. So, and I forgot this last time, and I apologize to Rusty, but if you'd like to bless Rusty, this bucket right here is specifically for him. If you're writing a check, okay, and you want to get a tax receipt for the end of the year, you can get you a check, make it to he paid your fees, and if you're giving cash, make sure you get an envelope and write his name on there and put it in this bucket right here. If you hadn't turned in your offering and tithes and offerings, put them in those other buckets. But this one's specifically for him. He don't take a salary here. So whatever you feel led to give to him, just, you know, let God guide you. Let God lead you in that area to bless him financially. So he drive, what is it, 2 hours to your house? Almost 2 hours to, I mean, this is where he's called. I've told people, like I said last week, you're called to be somewhere, not everywhere. He drives 2 hours to come to church, not, and it's not always when he's preaching. He comes here when he's not preaching. He feels led to be at this church. So, if you feel led to bless him, just after we're done, after we dismiss, come up here and put your offering in that bucket, and it all goes to him. Church doesn't get any of it, so it all goes to him. Okay, all right, y'all stand up and let's get out of here, you bunch of Jesus freaks, and y'all go take the gospel into all the world. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for blessing us with your word today, Lord. We declare, like Rusty said, that that word will sink into our hearts. We will write your commandments on our hearts, and we will use them, Father. We will use them in the public places. We'll use them in our homes. We'll use them at church. And we will declare your word to the whole world, because you are a glorious God, you are a holy God, and you are a righteous God. And we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that we will walk in victory. We are warriors for you. We are in your army, and you're the general. And Father, we love you and thank you for all you do for us, and we give you glory, honor, and praise today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.